Welcome to the Mission of Truth podcast, where Super Bowl champions Nick Foles and Chris Maragos dive deep into the trials and victories that are behind all of the lights. Here's your hosts, Nick Foles and Chris Maragos.
All right, here we go, Nick. We are back, and man, we are talking about an interesting topic today on marriage and how to balance marriage and your vocation or marriage and your job. And, you know, I know this is something that, you know, we strive and talk about quite a bit, but nothing that we've really kind of, you know, dove into quite like this. And, you know, we know, you know, how important marriage is, and we know, you know, the great things that come of it, but we also do know the difficulties of it. And, you know, today we'll dive in a little bit about that and, you know, share some funny stories. I know I got a few, just happened before we came on here. I was talking to my wife, so we'll dive into that, man. But hey, why don't you share a little bit about kind of just your relationship with Tori and some of the things that you guys kind of do to balance, you know, kind of your work and, you know, the different, you know, things that are pulling on you guys that ultimately can, you know, kind of get the focus off of your guys' relationship.
Yeah, dude, as you were doing the introduction, I was sort of thinking to myself, why are we doing this? Like, we're going to be in trouble if we mess this up.
Deep waters, bro.
We got to really think about what we say because our wives are going to listen to it. And that's just how it is. But, you know, Tori and I, we've been, you know, fun fact about, you know, Chris and Sarah and Tori and I, we were all married on April 9th, but Chris and Sarah have been married, just celebrated 10 years, and Tori and I just celebrated 6 years. So that's a little fun fact.
Dude, for the listeners. That is, how random is that? I remember the first time, you know, we told you that. I think we were in the locker room in Philly, and I don't know what we were doing. We were going by, and it was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, oh, you know, it's our anniversary. And you were like, oh, ours too, or something. Like, it was just like completely random how it happened. But
I'll answer your question in a sec, but man, like just this year, I remember like, you know, life's been crazy for everyone. And I remember like it was a couple of days before April 9th and, you know, we were texting and, you know, we've been working on developing this podcast to do it the right way. And you're like, hey man, like you got any advice? And I was like, advice for what? He's like, man, anniversary's coming up in a couple of days. I was like, man, I need help too. I don't know. You got advice? Oh yeah. Same day. Uh-oh. We're in the same boat. I don't know what to do. Especially right now, but it's amazing. You know, I think we're both very blessed and, you know, the same where you outpunt your coverage and, you know, we're both in that boat, you know, thank the Lord for that. But, you know, going back to Tori and I, you know, married 6 years and gone through a bunch of different trials. You know, she got really sick in 2013 and had to stop her job at Nike and, you know, ultimately ended up finding out she has postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. We got engaged while visiting the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale and got married at a courthouse a couple months later on April 9th, 2 days after she was in the ER for aseptic meningitis. So there was a little elevator pitch of Tori and I's start to marriage. We got married while we were sitting down in a friend's law office after we had gone to a courthouse. And it was a crazy journey, but when we said our vows, like we were living them, which was a really crazy thing and super meaningful because we knew we were ultimately, you know, getting married at that time to glorify God. But then, you know, the journey, like what we're talking about today is like balancing marriage and your vocation. And I think, you know, early on, you know, it's an adjustment when you're starting to like that life out together. I remember moving to Philadelphia, moving into a condo near the waterfront and just going to work while she's, you know, trying to figure out things at home. And obviously she's at the pinnacle of like what she was dealing with POTS. And then, you know, during that time we got Henry, our golden doodle. We got him after we played the Washington Redskins. We got him, we went to the airport, got him on a Monday. He's been a blessing to our family ever since. But, you know, I think the big thing back then and to this day was, Tori and I have always, dated each other. You know, we're married, but we continue to date, especially with having Lily. I think it's a lot of people when they get married, it is about the kids, absolutely, but it's first and foremost about the marriage. Like you have to instill in your marriage, you have to make time for your marriage, and that'll then go to your children because we've seen the unfortunate stories where the marriages become all about the kids and then the marriages fall apart when the kids get older. And I've been aware of those situations. And, you know, that's something where, you know, I'm not perfect by any means, but I think that, you know, if I started off with one thing, Tori, I've done that's helped us throughout the balancing the NFL career and, you know, our marriage is, you know, implementing date night every Friday night during the season. It's non-negotiable. We'll get a babysitter and we're going to go date each other. We're going to go on a date. And, you know, it's got to be more than that. But, you know, that's just one thing that started off that I think about is like we make an effort to date each other. We make an effort to have those conversations at night and even when we're tired. But, you know, turning it to you, Chris, like, is there, you know, obviously, you know, played in the NFL for a long time, been married for almost double as long as I have. Tori and I have, is there something that like you and Sarah did early on or throughout your marriage that you've noticed has really helped y'all?
Yeah. You know, I know for me, you know, I mean, gosh, man, I fall short in a million ways in the marriage. I mean, it's, you know, you talk about, you know, entering a covenant with somebody that you can spend the rest of your life with. But what that means is you got two people that are trying to get on the same page consistently every single day. And, you know, your wife is either going to be your biggest asset or your biggest liability. And that's something that I've really learned. You know, I've really seen, you know, with Sarah and I, especially with our relationship early on, you know, I knew, you know, we got married right out of college and, you know, we went to San Francisco right away. And the thing that I really learned about myself was, one, how selfish I was, because now I'm taking into account another person. And then not even that, but, you know, I realized very quickly that the way that I wanted to be loved in a relationship was very different than the way that she wanted to be loved. And, you know, we had a lot of conflict, you know, kind of early, just trying to figure out what that looked like, probably more from my end, because, you know, the way that I like to be loved is like acts of service. So like, man, if you do something for me, you fold the laundry, you do this, you do that, like that's the kind of stuff that I see and that I appreciate. So I would be doing those things kind of for her, like, oh, I'd be doing the dishes, or I would be doing the one, you know, folding the laundry or, you know, cleaning up or doing stuff. And obviously that's appreciated by her. But, you know, for me, you know, really understanding that her love that she needed was more like quality time, where for me, that's not really as important. So I was trying to love her the way that I wanted to be loved. So for us, our relationship, you know, really goes, you know, a lot smoother when I'm really understanding what she wants and focusing on her needs rather than my own needs or the things that I would want. And because in turn, then she's sacrificial and then she loves me and then she meets, you know, my needs the way that, you know, she shows me love and all that kind of stuff too.
It's so crazy how that works, man. Like humbling yourself and, you know, serving your wife. It's a magical thing.
Big time. But, big time. Cause I don't know, when I take in my relationship or, you know, those moments where I'm like, all right, like I'm going to figure this out for myself, or I think this will be best for us, it never goes well. I mean, every single time, man, it always blows up my face. But when I just focus on her needs or what she wants, man, then all of a sudden stuff starts working well. And it's like,
I can relate, man. Like, you know, and that's where like us talking, like we're not going to sit here and say we got it all together. We're still, you know, figuring it out. And, you know, there's times where there's seasons, like you said, I think the love languages, I'm right there with you where, you know, Tori, whenever I do nice things around the house and I really keep things organized, which I'm bad at sometimes. I have a lot of books that are all over the house that I'm always reading. You know, I set things out and, you know, she likes things clean. And so whenever I like, you know, and I'm one of my favorite things and people are going to laugh is like at night, I tell Tori, like, hey, why don't you just give me 10 minutes and I'll clean up the kitchen, do the dishes. She's like, all right, like. And I know that she enjoys the, like when the kitchen's clean and do that. I enjoy doing the dishes because I'll put in like headphones and just listen to either a book on tape or a podcast I've been meaning to listen to. And I'll tell you what, like I don't even think about what I'm doing. I'm actually learning and I'll clean and the kitchen will be looking good. Like I'll clean up everything, break down the boxes, do all the honeydews I can. But that goes a long way. And, you know, I think that, you know, understanding your wife and I think another thing that I struggle with too is, and she says this about me and I think she is right. And I am admitting this. So hopefully she doesn't listen to this episode, but like, you know, she'll say, man, you are so stubborn. You are so stubborn. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there.
I've never heard that either, by the way.
See, it must just be me. I'm out there with every other man that just, you know, so stubborn. So I have to really check myself. I think that, you know, getting into the topic, you know, we had talked about like balancing your job and your marriage and how that goes. I think there is a lot of men out there that, you know, think that providing for the family, and obviously there's women that are providing for the men as well, you know, which is amazing. But like, you know, for our situation, a lot of people be like, man, just, you know, you're providing for your family. That's got to be good enough. It's like, no, like you can't, that's not how this thing works. Like you're not going to have a successful marriage that way. You know, and I think the thing I have to really think about daily is, like you said, what does my wife need? Where can I help her? Where like can I uplift her and serve her or say, and I think a lot of things I forget, you know, she's pregnant right now. You know, Lily's, you know, about to be three. And I think that, you know, you sort of take things for granted in the sense like maybe I don't compliment her enough throughout the day. And I think like reaffirmation, for your wife is such an important thing. Cause I know like as a husband, like I like it when she says good things about me and reaffirms me or says like, thank you for doing that. And I think one thing that as men, we forget to do sometimes we take it for granted is we don't necessarily like reaffirm our wives with what they're doing on a day to day basis, whether it's, you know, taking care of the kids or running errands or folding laundry, whatever they do in your household, it's different in every single one. And I'm speaking from experience, like that is something that I need to do a better job of is reaffirming her in that situation.
Yeah. No, I think that's big, man. You know, I think a lot of times we get going with things and we think those things in our mind, but we don't necessarily verbalize them, you know, like, oh man, I appreciate my wife for this, but you know, maybe not, might not say it, or we're getting busy or we're just running or whatever, you know? And I mean, man, just sharing those little things. I know whenever I do that too, man, that's huge for us. And it really causes, you know, things to go a lot smoother and kind of takes away our conflict and different things like that.
Dude, I got to ask this because, you know, for our listeners, Chris and Sarah have three amazing kids, you know, Micah, Mason, and Cambria. The boys are crazy, insane, God, for sure going to be stud football players. But Cambria, so I got a video the other day and he had no clue she could do this. And I'm like, and she's younger than Lily.
Yeah.
And she's doing full gymnastics and flips and all these different things. So she's going to be whooping up on her brothers pretty soon. But dude, I say,
it's crazy,
you know,
bro.
So like, I'm trying to seek advice from you because we're about to have number two, by God's grace, you know? And, like, what advice do you have for me with like how you and Sarah, balance, the three kids and marriage? And obviously you're in this new part of your life where you're transitioning, but like, we're also like right now, as we're recording this podcast, like I'm like, all right, where are the kids? What is Sarah doing? Like, how's she keeping her sanity? Like, how do y'all do this?
Yeah. You know, honestly, man, like it sounds really cliche, but it's just communication. You know, I mean, it's, you know, what do I need to get done today? What do you need to get done today? How can we execute it? And really just be a team together. And a lot of times too, like we'll have fights or we'll have disagreements or arguments. And we have to, a lot of times, like we have to stop and like physically stop if we're arguing, if we're, you know, fighting about a certain topic or something that we're each unhappy about or whatever. We have to just stop and say, look, we're on the same team. Like we're like in a marriage together. Like we got to like come together. Like, you know, so often like my like lawyer in myself comes up, like I'm going to win this or, you know, I'm not going to back down on this or that. But, you know, I think that a lot of times like I got to back down and I got to hear what she's saying and vice versa. She's got to do that too in order to get through the day because you got three kids you got to take care of. You know, stuff's crazy. Like right now I said, hey, I got to record this podcast. All right. I'm going to take the kids and, you know, make sure that they're quiet so that you can do it or whatever. Or, you know, hey, I really want to watch this show or I want to go out and do this with my boys or go fish or whatever, you know, different things. So, you know, just knowing to being flexible and communicating throughout that, because I think a lot of times is, you know, lack of communication, creates conflict and creates conflict because there's unmet expectations. And so I think that, you know, the more that I communicate, you know, kind of over communicate and not expect her to really understand what I'm thinking. And I think a lot of times for Sarah, I can't speak for herself, but a lot of times like she'll tell me, oh, like go do this, you know, and then like I'll come back and then she'll be like, oh, well, did you get this, this, and this? And I'm like, look, you know,
bro,
you got to tell me.
Oh my goodness. Like,
I mean,
dude, it's the worst.
Communicate that with me,
dude. Like, I'm gonna like hashtag a phrase. Like, you can do a grocery list perfectly. You can go to the store perfectly, and you still get it wrong. I don't know if I've ever come home, because then she's like, "Well, did you get this and this and this?" I'm like, "It wasn't on the list." She's like, well, I thought you would know that. I'm like, why do we have a grocery list if you're going to add to it? And then I do have a rule. I'm like, listen, because if I give her the green light, these grocery lists are insane. Because Tori loves cooking. She loves cooking. She's an amazing cook. She has a passion for cooking. But with that, there's very unique ingredients. There's a lot of ingredients because of the flavor profiles. There's all these different types of things. So like when I go to a grocery store, it's also a time to put a headphones in and a podcast because I'm going to be there for an hour searching the aisles, trying to figure out, asking people for help. And then by the time I get to the checkout line, I look back at my phone and there's five other things. And I just, and I, you know, I'm admitting this right here, but I'll just tell her when I got home, like, hey, you're cutoffs before I go in the store. Like, like it's impossible, but it's just hilarious. And I laugh at it, but like, I do need to do a better job of, you know, maybe being more patient. I think going to the grocery store with her grocery list, man, I'm like, whoo. This is going to be, it's easier going into a game with a full playbook than these grocery lists. But there is.
All those little spices, thymes.
And then when they don't have it.
That's the worst.
You're like, uh-oh. But I mean, the thing is that I do get the big, you know, payoff in the sense of her cooking because it's truly amazing and she does have a talent. So I guess I just probably need to be quiet and stop my mouth. But, you know, I think, you know, going with the communication train of thought, you know, I think that's so important in marriage. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself. I look back to, you know, specifically in 2017, you know, we've talked about and well documented the Super Bowl run. And, you know, with all the injuries and, you know, I remember when Carson went down and I'd say the biggest thing for me, the relationship that helped the most, like from a earthly standpoint was one with my wife. Lily was 6-7 months old. So, you know, routine was obviously I always go to the facility early, get my film in, come home and the day's done. So you're probably getting home around 6:30, you know, we'll eat dinner, hang out with Lily. Lily goes down around 7:30. And then her and I would probably get about an hour to ourselves because I was going to bed at probably 8:30. I was so tired from the day and need to wake up early again. But those conversations, when I look back at night with my wife, just sitting there and taking the time to slow down, the big thing too is, and we struggle with this in our household is, technology sort of rules. Our phones are out. People are always reaching out. You're wanting to reach back. And there's times where I'm probably giving my phone more attention than my wife and Tori's doing the same. And that's something we got to work on to be better is set it down. And this, you know, so what I say is like during this time in 2017, we would put our phones to the side, we'd turn them on airplane mode and we just sit there and talk. We'd talk for 30, 45 minutes, an hour, hour, whatever it took to literally pour it all out. And that was one of the most fruitful things we had ever done was just sitting there and communicating. She would communicate what was going on throughout her day with Lily, whether it was great things, her struggles, friends she had had, maybe a study she had gone to. And then I would share with her the day at work, the pressures, I had to do this media interview and there's silly questions came up or like I said, like Howie Roseman put all these different sayings in the bathroom and I can't even go to the restroom in peace. Like, you know, we'd have those conversations that were amazing. And I think that so many times and, you know, even recently with everything going on, like, we're going, and we forget to take a breath and be with that person that we love and have those conversations. And we forget we forget to like take the time to do that.
Yeah. No, dude, you're 100% right. And I think the time changes as the relationship evolves because you're dating each other, you get married first, you might not have kids, you know, and you got a lot of time to spend with each other. You know, and a lot of flexibility. Then you have one kid or two kids or three kids, you had a dog or whatever. And that time just naturally gets shrunk down because of all the responsibilities, rightfully so. And not bad things, just it's just what it is. And one of the things that I learned from Sarah and I is that what we had to really navigate through and where we found, you know, a lot of success when we had a lot of difficulties through was having an expectation of, okay, like this is our time. It might not look like when we were first married, when we had no kids, because we have three kids now, but the time that we get is going to be quality. And I think that's what I learned a lot about my wife really specifically is it's not about the quantity of the time. It's about the quality of the time. And so, you know, a lot of times I might get 30 minutes with her at night, but that 30 minutes like needs to be quality and we need to take advantage of that rather than, you know, like there's been times where I'll have a whole Saturday off or something and I have nothing to do. And I'm around the house and like, we don't really talk or communicate or nothing's going on. And she'll be like, man, like, let's hang out. And I'll be like, man, I was here all day. Like, what do you mean? Like, I've been here all day. And she's like, yeah, you've been here, but you really haven't been here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're occupied doing other stuff. So I think being aware of that quality time, like you were saying, is really important, man, to have, because things will flow a lot better through that.
No, they will. And I think that that's tough, is like, you know, where you can get both of them, like, that's the golden gem right there, quality and quantity. But like, right, so many times during the season, like, quantities doesn't exist, because the season's basically a 7-day-a-week job. Sometimes you can take the off day and be at home, but you're still like on your iPad watching film or doing recovery stuff. So making sure during the season, you know, having that quality time.
Yeah.
And then off season's a little different. You get quantity and quality, but you got to, it's a different world. It's a different life. You know, you live two lives while you're playing in the NFL. And it is, a lot of people transition from different cities if their kids aren't in school and different things like that. But, you know, something that's been really on my heart this off season, I've learned in my marriage recently. And, you know, I knew this because, you know, I've taken seminary classes in the off season, just doing that. I can't believe I went back to school, but it's, you know, where my heart was led. Once I was done with school, man, I was like, I'm done with school. I got my degree from Arizona in communications. I'm ready to roll. I'm good. But, you know, really enjoyed school. But there's something I learned about, like, there was a, I don't know if it was a book or a post or whatever, about like three different pastors. And the one pastor had, you know, gone out and done everything to the glory of God, but had sort of neglected his family, but felt like that was okay because he was exhausting and going out there and planting seeds. Well, what happened was his kids were neglected as they were growing up, because they need their father figure if he's around. And they grew up and unfortunately didn't live good lifestyles as they got older, because they had issues and, you know, it didn't go well for them. Well, the other pastors, you know, not as well known, but they didn't go out. Their main ministry was their home. Hey, I'm going to feed my wife. I'm going to feed my children. I'm going to be here. And then I'm going to go out of the overflow, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to share the message. I'm going to impact communities. And the thing that people didn't realize at that time was their kids grew up and became pastors. And there was a multiplication effect because the father and mother were around to have that healthy relationship. So I share that story that's always stayed with me. Obviously, I didn't have details of the names. There are names and you can't check me out there. But I say that to say, this offseason, I love doing different things for communities. You know, we've been blessed to, you know, set up the Foles Believe Foundation. I've been blessed to do a lot of Zoom calls, as you have as well. Different speaking engagements, all great things that I love doing. And I can go full throttle all day, every day. But then I realize, like, when I'm doing those things, even though I'm around in a office right around the corner and I'm here and I can take breaks in and out of the day, I'm not here. Like you were saying, like, hey, the Saturday, like, I'm at home all day, but you weren't present.
Yep.
Like, and I realized, like, Tori being pregnant and Lily running around, like, she, you know, she brought it to my attention a couple of weeks ago out of love. And she's like, I know you're doing all these amazing things. I love that you're doing all these amazing things, but you need to pull back a little bit and spend a little more time being present with us. I think it'd be really important. And she sort of checked me, and I'm like, whoa, yeah. I was like, that preaches, like, that's real though. Like, I was like, I realized that, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll finish the things I'm obligated with, the things that I really want to do, because they're all amazing things. I want to do them, but you're right. Because I had learned it many years previously with that example in seminary. And I was like, wow, I became that person that I was sort of, though I'm around and I feel like I'm around, I was neglecting my family. So right now, you know, pulling back the reins, picking and choosing when I can, because I still want to do things, and Tori wants me to as well. But I say all that to say, even too much of a good thing becomes sort of prideful in your heart, because you're like, oh, I'm doing this, this, and this. And yep, though, like, it's for the glory of God and all these different things, like, I'm forgetting to instill in my wife and be here with my wife. If she feels that way, then I'm doing something wrong.
Exactly.
And it's not that she's needy. It's that she needs my presence. I am her husband. And then also the importance of, you know, instilling in Lily, our child, and helping. I was like, man, that preaches. Too much of a good thing can be bad. And that, I think that's a great example for men out there in these jobs or vocations. And obviously you want to provide for your family, whether you're a man or woman, but you really got to make sure that, you know, when you can get home, like you said, have that quality and quantity time. If you can get the quantity, obviously quality is extremely important. But like, Chris, I'd say, you know, for me, when I think of quality, I think of like putting down the phones, turning off the TVs.
100%.
You know, we know Disney Plus during this year has been huge for everybody. Like, cause I mean, all this, the homeschooling and everything, like people are going crazy. But like when you take that quality time with Sarah, like what are some things that you really try to pay attention to so it is quality instead of just time together?
Yeah, no, that's good, man. You know, I think it's that face-to-face interaction is huge, man. You know, I think a lot of times, like we'll tell our kids like, hey, like you guys go do this right now. And we're going to take this time out because we really need to talk like that. Like you said, man, making it a priority. Like you were saying during the season, man, the biggest, most differentiator for our relationship was carving out that time once a week, no matter what. Like every Monday night was our date night, you know, like no matter what. No matter what was happening, no matter what was going on in the world, you know, anything going on, like we were going to make that time.
Yeah, you
like,
see the difference between defense and offense right here, Monday night versus Friday night.
Yeah, exactly.
And all you got to do is go back there and just find the ball. We got to actually put plays in. Sorry.
Exactly.
Sorry, I had to put that in there.
That's right. We're just reacting off of what you're doing, man.
Oh, I know. Jeez, I want that Monday night date night.
A little bit easier, man. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, I mean, just, you know, doing those kinds of things is huge. And, you know, for me, checking our motives, I think for me, that was really big. Like so often I would say, you know what, like I'm providing for my family, I'm doing this for you guys. But I had to really check myself, like, am I really doing that for my family? Like I can say that, like, oh, I'm working hard for my family, or oh, maybe I'm sacrificing a little bit, you know, for my family to like provide for them, or like, you know, be a great football player or whatever. But I had to like really ask myself, like, is that really for my family or is that really for me? You know, and I think a lot of times, especially as men, like we can really find our identity in our work. And I know in the past, I've really found my identity, you know, in my work for sure. And, you know, a lot of times, like I would pawn it off and say, oh, I'm doing it for my family or I'm doing it for this and neglecting them, providing. But the reality of it was that it was really for me. So I think the intentions in it, and most importantly is like, man, when you invest time into something, you really understand it and you appreciate it that much more. And I think our wives are the exact same way, is the time has to get spent on them and it has to be spent with them so that, you know, the relationship can flourish more. But then you understand what you're fighting for in a marriage, because it is hard. It's difficult. You know, you got to work at it every single day. But if you really, truly know and understand that person that you're with, you're really able to appreciate it and you're willing to sacrifice and work and do more things, you know, to have that success, you know, so.
No, dude, and that's deep. And I think, you know, something that came to me as you were speaking and sharing with me was, you know, so many times we do things and we feel like, you know, this is for our work. This is for, you know, this is good, but it's sort of like an ego thing. It's a pride thing. It can be a good thing. And a verse that's been on my heart this last year is Galatians 1:10. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I think that, you know, you and I are both guilty of, you know, sometimes going out there and just go, it could be good things, but it's at the cost of something else. And it becomes too much about us and not about the message and what we're doing, or maybe we're neglecting, you know, our wives. And, you know, we both know that without our, like, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without our wives. And I know it's tough for them because a lot of what they do is behind the scenes. You know, yeah. They both, you know, had, you know, opportunities to do different things with their careers and do things like that. But then all of a sudden, you know, we go do our career in the NFL and then we have kids and, you know, there's not someone that can go out there and reaffirm us like us, like our teammates and coaches or people pat us on the back, but that's our job. And I'd say in conclusion, you know, after, you know, talking with you, the big thing that is so important in marriage is just reaffirmation. Just yep. Continue to reaffirm your wife and how important that is, because I think everyone loves that. I, you know, even though you're not trying to please people and things, like when someone says like, hey, you really did a nice job, or hey, you look beautiful today. I mean, if someone tells me I look beautiful, I think they're crazy, but you know what I'm saying. But I think that, you know, if there's one thing I can leave listeners to, is reaffirmation when in your relationships is really important. I know that, like, from a brother like you, like the biggest thing, like throughout, you know, my season in Jacksonville, and I know you were dealing with things with your knee injury, was just reaffirmation. Just continue to uplift each other. It's the same in marriage, and even more so in marriage. So I hope our listeners, you know, really get something out of it. We're still along this journey. We're still trying to figure out, you know, marriage. Obviously it's one day at a time, and continuing to love our wives and, you know, do those things and be a great example for our children. But the whole point of this is to let y'all know, like, we're still struggling as well. We don't always have it all together. Mm-hmm. But we do strive every single day to be better men and better for our wives, because we couldn't do what we do without our amazing wives. So thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Tori, for just being
appreciate you, really
guys. Amazing. And ultimately right now, you know, watching the kids so that we can have this time together to record. And, you know, there's limited background noise, which means that, you know, they're keeping the kids active.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, hey, man, this was great. And, man, what a blessing it was to be on with you, bro. And, we're looking forward to next time, man. We got a great show coming up next, and we'll see you guys next time.
See y'all later. Have a good one.
If you would love to interact with Nick and I, please reach out to our social medias. Our Instagram is @missionoftruth, and our Twitter is @MofT_podcast. We'd love to hear from you guys and any thoughts or questions you guys have or comments. And thanks for tuning in.